Pentecost, as you may have read in your bulletin, is a Greek word meaning 50th day. Pentecost was a celebration of first fruits. It was the harvest that was coming in, and so the people would give a tithe, that first fruit, to the Lord. It was the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. 50 days after Easter, Christians celebrate Pentecost as the completion of Christ's earthly mission and the public revelation of the Holy Spirit. And on that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit inspired the disciples to continue the mission of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church on the first Pentecost, just as it was in each of us through our baptisms. The Holy Spirit continues to empower us, not only to believe, but to act. And as disciples, to me it's just utterly amazing that we have testimony, that we have the opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom work. For as fallen, as broken as we are, for some of those promises that we make that we don't keep, for those things that we say that oftentimes hurt or make people wonder, God is still using us. And it's through the perfect power of the Holy Spirit. We continue to share the story, the good news of Jesus Christ, that which generations before us gave testimony to as well. And we celebrate today. We celebrate that, strengthening our relationships in this body of Christ, Fellowship Church. And yet we want to reach wider. We want to extend the love and truth of Christ to our community, to the region, and to the world. And we've heard just little snippets of that already today. And it's something that we continue to think about and pray about as a committee within our church. How can we best impact the lives around us? And I oftentimes have to refer to this because, again, to me it gives such clarity to who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. But Robert Lupton reminds me of what it is I'm called to do and how I'm supposed to do that. He says, the fundamental building blocks of the kingdom are relationships, not programs, systems, or productivity, but inconvenient, time-consuming, intrusive relationships. The kingdom of God is built on personal involvements that disrupt schedules and drain energy. And when I enter into those redemptive relationships with others, I lose much of my capacity to produce desired results with a minimal expenditure of energy, time, money, or materials. In short, relationships sabotage my efficiency, and a part of me dies. And is this perhaps what our Lord meant when he said that we must lay down our lives for one another? For Cliff and Nicole and Elisa and Marilyn, for many others in our congregation who are out there involved in the community, in the neighborhood, in their families, in relationship with one another, through longtime friends, through the working of modern technology, we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we were mandated to do. And I like how John writes in his first letter towards the end of the New Testament. He says these words in 1 John verse 1, verse 3. He says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things to you so that our joy may be complete. Just a couple of things that I want to highlight this morning in considering that text. John wants to tell us that Jesus Christ really lived. Jesus Christ was actually here on the face of this earth, walking among us. And here at this point in time, John's writing about 50 years after Jesus had been among them. John is one of the last living apostles, and he's writing this letter to second and third generation Christians, people who never actually encountered Jesus. And so after three generations, doubt starts to creep in about who Jesus really was. The good thing about being a third generation Christian is you have a rich heritage. We have such a rich heritage. We're probably 55, 60 generation Christians. Maybe some of us are first generation Christians. Some of us maybe have come to understand who Jesus Christ is. Outside of our immediate family, through the invitation of a friend, through a relationship that we've shared with somebody who said, hey, why don't you just come to church with me? Or why don't we get together every week and just talk about, I mean, you always have so many questions about my faith and why I do what I do. And I'd be glad to just talk with you about that. And lo and behold, it's not what I do, it's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of that person. And that person becomes that first generation Christian. And think about that. We have the opportunity to affect generations to come then. For some of us, we're those second and third generations where we've grown up in Christian families and homes. And we have that heritage and that history. We can point back to what great-grandma was doing and how she inspired mom or grandmother and how they inspired us to live our lives and follow Jesus. The downside maybe of being a second or third generation believer is that you don't typically have that kind of dramatic conversion experience as a first generation believer might have had. We've been brought up with the truth of God's word, with the teachings of his word. And that's why John is writing this letter. To set the record straight, Jesus Christ really lived. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. And it wasn't just John, it was the other apostles as well as many other believers who followed Jesus in his earthly ministry. That's the first thing that I think John wants us to understand, is that Jesus Christ really lived. The second thing that John wants to tell us is that we have really experienced him. Jesus Christ just didn't live, but he also changed our lives. Notice what John is saying here when you look at those words. He says, we have seen, we have heard. Are there any grammar analysts here? What kind of tense is John using? It's not the past tense. It's a perfect tense. A perfect tense, which means that there's a continuation, there's a continuing action. And John is saying, we have seen this, we have heard, we have touched. We've experienced him. In fact, John says, the experience is so real that Jesus has become our life. Think about the movement of the Christian church. Think about the impact that this one man had on a few men, to the extent that movement is still going on today. It wasn't based on a man and what man can do, because we know that man fails. It's based on God and the power of the Holy Spirit, which came to these men. Jesus promised that he wasn't going to leave us. And so he sent the Holy Spirit, and it was through the power of that Holy Spirit that John and the rest of his brothers in Christ went out to preach the good news. We still see Christ working in our lives today, in the world around us. And again, we've heard some of those testimonies from Teresa and Marilyn and Eliza and Cliff and Joyce and Lois. And we can think of some of those things in our own mind where we have experienced God. We know that his promises are true, that his word is perfect. We see it in creation. I was kind of hoping that storm would strike right now. I do have a flashlight here in case we do lose power. And I was hoping that I could use it for, boom, the Holy Spirit right there. But we see God in all of his majesty come just in a matter of minutes and blow through in a storm. And on the other side of that storm is the beautiful sunshine, the fresh smell of pavement that has been washed, the greenness of trees, the perfect flower blossoming alongside of our sidewalk. We see it in the intricacies of microbiology and how the human body works and how it gets put back together through technology and surgery. We see it happening in the lives of people when people get together and share a cup of coffee and affirm one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. We witness his healing, transforming work in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, being asked to believe the same things that John is writing about. You and I, we have seen and we have heard. And yes, we have even been touched through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have time for a lengthy discussion on the historicity of Jesus this morning, but need to remind ourselves that we have compelling evidence. We have not one, not two, not three, but four eyewitness accounts of his life and death and resurrection, each written from a distinctive point of view, a different time, and yet all telling the same story: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have more manuscript evidence for Jesus than we do for any other figure in all of antiquity. Jesus really lived. And John experienced that, and he wants us to experience it. There's certainly room for question and debate exactly as to what was Jesus' ministry like. How did he affect people? Every seeker and believer has to investigate that record for him or herself and has to come to their own conclusion. But of this you can be sure, says John, Jesus Christ really lived. And when we begin to live according to God's word, we experience him. I just am amazed at some of the things that I've been witness to and the things that I have seen transpire in front of my own eyes through the ministry at Fair State. And it's just amazing, again, to think that God uses me, imperfect, shallow at times, callous at times, insensitive at times, to affect the life of another person. And obviously, it's not what I might think, but it's the Spirit, it's that heart, it's that posture, it's that position that God says, I'm going to use you in this relationship. And yes, you might need to apologize to that person. You might need to come clean. That person might not have ever experienced forgiveness and reconciliation in that form or fashion before. And you have an opportunity to bring that. We have so many different ways in which God uses us, and through his Spirit and through his power affects the lives of people. And that's the third thing I think that John wants us to realize here, is that we need to experience that together. In verse 4, he writes, we want our joy to be complete. We write this to make our joy complete. John wants us to understand that his own experience with Christ will be lacking something unless and until he can share that experience with others. The only thing that I could think of as to how to describe that is, I love food. And food loves me. It just, you know, attracts itself to me. And I started to think about, you know, what would be one of my favorite restaurants and how I love to go to that restaurant. And, you know, I find real gratification if I say to Lois, you know, you really need to go to, one of my favorite restaurants. We all have different tiers as far as restaurants and prices and stuff like that. But one of my middle-of-the-road restaurants that I love to go to is the Olive Garden, okay? And so if I say to Lois, you've got to stop and eat at the Olive Garden. They have this on the menu, all the salad that you can eat with breadsticks. Even before your main course comes, you're full because the salad is so good. And I just love it. And so, you know, maybe Lois goes there upon my recommendation and she goes, wow, it's just like Mike said. I'm so full and I haven't even started my main course yet. The salad, they keep bringing the salad and breadsticks. And wow, and it only costs this much. This is great, Jerry. We can eat and eat and eat. And what's even better yet is I might know that Lois really enjoyed that experience. But what's even better is when Jerry and Lois and Ruth and I would go to that restaurant together. And we'd sit around the table and enjoy all the salad and breadsticks that we could eat. And then just savor the main course and enjoy that conversation and that experience together. It means so much more. It takes on such a different application. And that's what the church is. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Lois could have made, she probably could have made 100 dresses and she would have been exhausted. We wouldn't have seen her here in church probably for 3 months. We would have had brought communion to her. We would have had to bring the tapes to her so she could hear the message, because she probably would have done it, worked herself to her bed and just be exhausted. And she would have found gratification in that. She would have found, you know, a really worthwhile feeling of, yes, I made all these dresses for these kids. And I'm praying over that, and I know that. But what is even more powerful is a couple of phone calls. And just an invitation to be a part of something that brings a smile to a little girl's face. And I get to experience that, you know, like Nicole said, every spring. Sometimes I think, oh man, not another mission trip. Wow. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. But once I get on the road and once I get down there and I see the work and I get to watch these college kids work with each other and create silly songs and do weird things and just enjoy fellowship together for a week. It's just such a powerful thing to share together. To have a group of young boys come here on a Sunday night and have supper and then watch them out in the backyard over there before the cadet meeting, just playing and kicking a ball around or throwing tomahawks, not at each other, but at a target. Just to see that camaraderie of young boys doing life together and having an opportunity to have men lead them and talk about Jesus and the importance of that relationship. To see the faithfulness of women come together every Tuesday to study God's word and to pray for the needs of this church and the community and individual lives. It's so different when you experience it together, when you do things together. Whether that's a church camp out, a church yard sale, a fellowship event after church where we just do nothing but eat and socialize. That's what the church is. That's what the body of Christ is. And through that encouragement, through that fellowship, through that coming together, we not only experience Christ in our lives and in this community here, but we have an opportunity to go out into the world think of Eugen Gill, or Jenny Gill, who were a part of our fellowship for a number of years. Hugh was a head resident in a dorm here at Ferris State University, and his term of service is up, and he's moved on to a different university. I think of Dave Windsor, one of our FCS guys who was involved in the construction management program and went on many, many mission trips with us. To the extent that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be involved in mission work. And so he's working for a Christian Builders missionary organization. And he's been in the Dominican Republic for the last 3 years building homes and hospitals. I think of our church in such a way that we have such a dynamic ministry here. We have people that come for sometimes a very long period of time, and this is home, and that's wonderful, but we also have people that are here for a short period of time. And we get to be encouraged by them, and we get to encourage them and challenge them, and then send them out. And every now and then we get letters, or we hear, or we see them come back to our fellowship. And it's exciting, because we've experienced life together here. Our Christian experience, as John is trying to get his readers to understand, is really incomplete until we've shared it with others. And I think that is what John is hoping to have us realize. That some of our greatest joys will be when we experience Jesus Christ personally and when we experience Jesus Christ with others. May we continue to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well as in the lives of this congregation as we follow the mandate of our Lord and Savior to go into all the world, to be filled with His Spirit, and to share that here in this body, in our neighborhoods in Big Rapids, in the surrounding communities, and throughout the world. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank You so much for the coming of the Spirit. We thank You for the record that we have before us, Your word that gives to us that courage, that hope, that purpose, that direction. And God, we pray that we would be bold and courageous as we are called to different situations, that You place us strategically in relationships with people or next to people where we have an opportunity to minister. And sometimes that ministry takes the form of actions with very little words. Sometimes it's a ministry of presence. And sometimes it involves sharing our personal journey and how You have worked in our lives. And we get to experience that with others. And God, so may that continue to be at the center of Your work and in our kingdom work here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, and take your soft-covered hymnal as we receive the blessing, the benediction, and then sing our closing song. People of God, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him, Jesus Christ, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.